song. Sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven, let the saints proclaim, what a lovely name. Let's sing it now. Oh yes, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star. Sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven, let the saints proclaim, what a lovely name.
Soon He'll come in clouds of glory.
Hallelujah, we believe that, don't we?
Saints of every race shall behold.
The name of Jesus, sweetest name that's ever been spoken. Amen. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord? Are you glad He has made you beautiful? Amen. Not one thing that we could do to help ourselves. Not one thing. We was helpless. But because of Christ, we are what we are today. Do you appreciate His grace? The law will put you in jail, but grace will get you out. I appreciate the grace of Almighty God. What He's done in my life. We've all got a testimony. What has He done in your life? What has the grace of God done in your own personal life? You start counting, you start thinking, you start wondering, you start reminiscing. You'll never thank Him enough for what He's done for you. Do you love Him with all your heart? Give Him a real good hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now take just a minute, turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. What a privilege it is. Give me a second verse, buddy, if you will. Praise the Lord. Boys, I appreciate you. God bless you. Appreciate you guys. God bless you. Sing that verse, buddy.
Oh, soon He'll come in clouds of glory.
Looking forward to that day.
Saints of every race shall behold His face.
the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning while we look at our prayer request. Brother Randall Gibbs and Danner, if you'd get ready this morning to take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of the prayer request this morning. Brother Joshua Ball sends this in. I would like for the church to remember in prayer Chad McLean from Churchill. He had a brain tumor removed and found out that it was cancer. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request today on his behalf. Sister Linda Nunley sent this into the library. Brother Daniel Nunley requests that the church continue to remember him in prayer. He had to return to the emergency room on Friday night, but he's back home and would appreciate visitors as he misses church very, very much. Would love to see brothers and sisters as they can. If you'd please call the home before visiting, it would be appreciated. Thank you so much for the calls, cards, prayers. It means so much. So we certainly want to continue to remember Brother Daniel Nunley in prayer, the Nunley family. If you get a chance, call, run by. You don't have to stay 3 or 4 hours. Just go by for a few minutes and visit with him. He'd love to see you. I know he would. Brother Daniel, he's a people person, and he loves his brothers and sisters in the Lord. Let me, while I'm thinking about it, Sister Faye Yance, God bless you. We're glad you're back in the house of the Lord with us this morning. The passing of Brother Eddie, and I know you're lonely and feel just really blue in your heart, but well, we're just glad that we can welcome you back in the house of God. You've got a loving family here that loves you, Sister Faye. We want you to know that. Brother Krause sends this in for Sister Laura. She is home, not feeling well this morning. Request prayer, so let's remember that need as we pray today. Please remember Sister Tina Hackett of Manitoba. She needs to see a heart specialist very soon concerning her heart. So let's remember that. Brother Amos sends that in. Let's remember that request on her behalf this morning. Sister Linda Krager sends this in. I was sick for 2 days. I called for the church to pray for me. As the pastor preached, I started to feel better. I'm at church this morning. God is good all the time. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him a good hand clap of praise this morning. Please pray for me. I have several things going on in my body. It makes it very hard for me to do my household chores and different things. Have to perform my job is very hard for me. I know that God is able to touch me. He is the Lord of all, and she would certainly appreciate our prayers. That's from a sister in Christ. We just commit that unto the Lord. Crystal, which is a 33-year-old mother of 4 young children, has MS and is wheelchair bound. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request this morning. I want to pray for Brother Greg, Sister Shirley Robbins, both not feeling well, need healing in their bodies. So let's remember those folks this morning. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs today, whatever they are, we know we're serving a prayer answering God. Let's stand to our feet as Brother Randall comes this morning to take us to the Lord in prayer. Appreciate Brother Randall, don't we? Amen, buddy. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Appreciate you, buddy. God bless you. Let's just all pray. Our lovely Lord Jesus, here we are once again, Lord, in your house, this resurrection morning, Lord. We've all come together, Lord, to hear from you this morning, Lord. To bring our little licks of fire together, Lord, to create that great big pillar of fire, Lord. And I know you're already in our midst, Lord. We already feel your presence here this morning, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be here, Lord. We're not able to be here as much as we'd like to be, Lord. We live a long ways away, but when we are here, Lord, it's such a privilege. It's such a blessing to be in your house, Lord. We just thank you for allowing us, Lord, to be here this morning and last night, Lord. And the word that we heard last night, Lord, is so amazing, Lord. You're getting us ready for that great day, Lord, when you call us away, Lord, and out of this pest house, Lord, away from trouble and sorrow and all the troubles of life, Lord. We just want to say thank you for your love to us, Lord. We bring all these requests before you this morning, Lord. I hold in my hand, Lord, and I know you're mindful of each and every need, Lord, that was spoken, Lord. Would you just send your word, Lord, and touch and minister to each request, Lord, as our pastor would come in a little bit, Lord, and break the bread of life. I pray you'd speak to every heart, Lord, every need that's in the heart of the believer this morning, Lord. Would you just minister to that need, Lord? Touch every person, Lord. May we leave here better Christians than when we came in, Lord. We ask all these favors and blessings in your lovely name, the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in the service, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming this service today, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Could we say it together? God bless our streamers. God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand if you will this morning. Amen. Let me make this announcement this morning. The teen and young adult Bible study tomorrow night in the fellowship hall from 6 until 8 p.m. Brother West wanted you to know about that, so remember that tomorrow evening from 6 until 8. Now, our pastor and Sister Carol are going to be leaving in the morning, as far as I know. Going to be gone several days to Israel and different places, and I'm just kind of sad about it. I don't care what you say. I'm kind of sad about that. But we want to pray that God will certainly give them traveling mercies, give them a great time in the Lord, and may their services that they're in just be prosperous. And we're going to miss you. We really are. We're going to miss you. We miss our pastor when he's not here. We do. And you know, there's great men of God that stood in this pulpit and brought many wonderful, tremendous messages, but they ain't none of them Donnie Reagan. And we appreciate our pastor this morning. I mean that with all my heart. You better sing before I cry.
The holy of heaven call
praise
me.
Praise the Lord. Oh, sing it to him, church.
To mansions
right
across the sea. Where loved ones wait and crowns are given.
Hallelujah. Sing it to him.
Say, my spirit.
yes, they are. Yes, they are. Amen. I have a couple of specials for you this morning. Brother Joel Yance, you'll come onto the platform. Sister Tamika Brown, if you come on the platform, we'll get our songs and just enjoy them as they sing. But let's sing a little chorus. God is good all the time, and all the time He is. Yes, somebody say amen. Somebody say it ain't nothing but the truth. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him with all your heart. Well, I said my God is good. You know He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. One of the best singers I know, Brother Joel Yance. And Sister Tamika, on the ladies' side, you're one of the best singers in the world. We appreciate you. God bless you. You can be seated this morning.
Sometimes at night I cry myself to sleep after everybody else has gone to bed, knowing once again I've gotten in too deep and the waters will soon be above my head. And I beg of you to change the world around me so tomorrow won't be looking quite so dim. And I awake to the waters deep enough to drown me, but through it all, He taught me how to swim. And when I hear the thunder and I think I'm going under, I remember You're the lifter of my head. You had 1,000 chances to change my circumstances, but thank You, Lord, for changing me instead. There are times I can't help feeling lost, like a ship drifting on the open sea, and the winds and waves leave me pitched and tossed, and a storm begins to build inside of me. And I beg of you to change the world around me, as fear and faith are fighting for control. Amid the raging waters swirling all around me, will you become the anchor for my soul? And when I hear the thunder and I think I'm going under, I remember you're the lifter of my head. Chances to change my circumstances, but thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Lord, for changing me
I am His and He is mine. We're so grateful for that today. Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. And then his reply back to her, Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Truly, that is a miracle. A miracle. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank you for that supernatural work that you have done in our hearts. To be honest with you, sir, it's more than our minds can comprehend. That you would look at us and you would be so overwhelmed by the reflection of grace that you see in our eyes. That you would tell us to turn our eyes from you because they overcome you. We're not talking about a weak mortal. We're not talking about a man who has frailties and human weaknesses as we do. We're talking about the Almighty Himself. But when you look at the work that you have done and accomplished in our lives, it is so overwhelming to you that you tell us to turn away. Oh Lord God, how we love you. We thank you today, Jesus, that you have made us beautiful in your eyes. Speak to us today from your word, Father, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Let me read to you from the message called Prodigal. That's the way Jesus did for us. When we were sinners, ugly before God, cast away, turned away, He came, the lovely Son of God from the ivory palaces. He come down on the earth and took shame upon Himself and the sin upon Himself and died there at Calvary. Listen what He was doing. Crying. Should I be ashamed of His gospel? Christians on the streets are ashamed to stand up for the gospel. But He was marred and made ugly that you could be free. He was marred by sin that you could be free from sin. Don't never deny Him. Always love Him. Stand for that which is true. Stand for His gospel. This is how that He could say, Thou art beautiful. Because He was made ugly that you and I might be redeemed from our ugliness. Amen. Again he says, in the faith of Abraham, there was a perfect one, died for us faltering ones. One who, listen, we who are disfigured and immoral and ugly and everything. But he took the perfect one and looked him over. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He was the sacrifice. God accepted him. So ours is finished. All we have to do, listen to this, is walk in grace. You're talking about amazing grace of what God has done for us. Now, we looked at it some last night, how that we were born with this proverbial serpent in our hearts, in our nature. Satan, by every person who is unregenerate today, has a foothold in them by his own nature. If you can understand it right, he lives in them by proxy of a nature which is closer kin to him than it is to God. As we looked at it last night again in the kinsman redeemer, the closest one that was kin to us was actually the devil. Because of the nature that we were born with. So we had the poison asp of the adder under our tongues. Our tongues was as sharp as the serpent. We had the hiss of the serpent in our hearts. We was a mess. I said we was a mess. But God had already, before Satan had ever come up with his plan, God had already had a perfect program in order to redeem us and make us acceptable and take us from that ugly strain of sin to beautify the meek with salvation. And we know that God's plan is perfect. You agree with me on that today. We'll pick up again today in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. John said, "He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Now we'd like to look at this scripture in a twofold way, in that those today that are not born again, that are unregenerate, they are still committing sin on a perpetual daily basis. They do that because of the source of sin that is in their nature, which at one time we were exactly the same way. So they are practicing sin. They are professional sinners because of their nature. Now in the regenerate side of those that are born again, that is past tense to us, that he at one time dominated our lives, but no longer it dominates us because he is dead and we are born again. So the he which committed sin in us and our former life was that old nature which we had received by the natural birth. But that he is no longer predominant in you because you are born again. So the he that was there was present tense. And those of you that remember when you was of that old nature, you remember how that doing sin, it was just as common to you as getting up and breathing and the things that you did every day. Because the he was your first husband, which had the rule over you, which was your nature by natural birth. Naturally, you love the world. And those today that are not born again, it is just as common to them to continue to do as they do, as it is for those of us who are born again. But truly, when we are born again, we have an index of character or an index of nature which has changed away from the old nature that we were born in. And the source of our righteousness comes from our Heavenly Father. It is not something that we have to sit down and try to go through schooling and try to get a book of how to discipline ourselves, how to be a better person. You'll be a complete failure unless you're born again. And it must come from the soul, which changes the trueness of our character and our nature. He that committeth sin is a child of the devil because he has the same inherent nature that Satan himself does. As we quoted it last night on St. John 8:44, "You're of your father the devil. He was a liar from the beginning." And of course we know that Jesus told them, the people in that day, "You carry out the lust of your father." Now, by having the nature of the devil in ever unregenerate mortal, they are carrying out the will of Satan because they are not born again. Turn it right around. On the other hand, those that are born again are carrying out the nature of their father because they're born of a new parent. Praise the Lord. This is why that for a child of God that is born again, it is actually just as easier, or let me say it this way, it is easier for them to be a child of God than it is for the children of the devil to be the devil's children. Because the power of God is greater and can transform us in a greater way than what Satan can do. Once you're the devil's child, all you can do is get worse. You never get no better. But once you're a child of God, you're on the constant acceleration toward the power
power of transformation. Amen. So you're getting greater, greater, more like Him constantly, the Word constantly transforming it because of the deposit of the divine nature, which John terms also the seed. Now the seed is the nature or the new birth by which you are regenerated by the creative power of God. The nature of the devil was in every one of us, even though that we were elect. You believe that? The nature of the devil was in us because of being born by sex desire. The bedding ground was totally marred, so every woman that would give birth by sex desire would produce a child, whether they were man or woman, black or white. It would make no difference about the racial or nothing like that. They were all born lost, and they were born with the nature of the devil in them. Now, for many people, they come, they get a religious feeling, they start going to church, and they try to be a better person. They try to discipline themselves to be a better person. You forget it. You're lost. Until you actually get a nature replacement, you're never really a genuine son or daughter of God. That's right. Now, Satan was the father of sin. Jesus said when he told a lie, he speaks of himself because he is the father of lies. And he's also the father of sin. So every person then that is born with a sinful nature, their father first in the nature is the devil. Now, this is exactly what he knew he would be able to accomplish by being able to bring forth the serpent seed. Now, we know that the serpent seed is not an actual race of people today on the earth that are separate from the seed of God. The two seed lines become mixed together in Genesis chapter 6. Up to that time, you had the sons of God. Now listen to this. They were still sons of God after the fall. I hope this don't blow you away. But they were still the sons of God after the fall. Now we talk about the Adamic nature and what we receive as the Adamic nature, but I wonder how much of it is the Adamic nature or it is the nature of our father and mother after the fall in Genesis 6, which fell much further than what we desire to comprehend. In the sense that whenever God brought Adam out of the Garden of Eden, Adam was still a son of God. His fellowship was broken, but he was still on a higher plane than where we are today. So it shows you and I that something had to take place even after Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden, and that was the mixture of the seed lines of Genesis 6. When the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they took unto them women or wives. Now, when they did that, now they mixed the bloodline. So prior to that, we see a separate bloodline, a separate seed line of the sons of God and the sons of the devil. But after that, then we see a man like Noah that would be a true prophet of God that would preach the word. But after he'd deliver the world by what God had gave him, he would come out, plant a vineyard, wind up getting drunk himself. We see a man like Moses who would wind up being a murderer. We see a man like Jacob and Esau coming from the same mother and father. And you see one of them being a child of God and the other one having the nature of the devil. So where did this come from? It was the mixture of Genesis chapter 6 of the seed line. Now listen carefully now. Each one of us then have that same mixture in our natural birth to this very day. Oh, you might as well say amen now. And inside of a family, you may have a bunch of kids. Every one of them may be meaner than a snake. Every one of them, you know, it's got that mixture. Some of them will be pretty good. Some of them will be pretty bad. But they've all got that mixture of all of that in there because predestinated seed is not passed down by sexual desire. It comes only by the creation of God in the individual heart. Good saints of God, mothers and fathers filled with the Holy Ghost, they do not have the ability to pass the predestinated seed down to their children. God is the only one that can do that. So this is why that the elect of God must be born again and receive the Holy Ghost, even though their name is already written in the Lamb's Book of Life, before they ever come to this earth as a mortal. Right? So they must be born again. Now then it will wind up then in our own bodies that each of us could have tendencies or propensities of sin, which would be vile and wretched and all the things that we look at what our families that's not saved, what they've become, what many of them are doing in the age that we're living and the world's getting worse every week that we live here. We know that. But what makes us different? It's because the seed line of God, which is supernatural, has greater power than the seed line of our natural birth. Now think of it. Are any of you here today proud of your family tree? Every uncle, every aunt, every mother, every father, every grandpa. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. There's things that they have done, and genetically that runs down in your DNA as well. And you inherit or become the nature of one behind you, a grandma, a grandfather, whatever more. But there is a power that overrides that power, and that is the seed of God, which is actually a new nature and being born again. Now, Satan, of course, was the one that had the dominion over us by this power of the natural birth. John goes on to say in verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, John does not say that whosoever is born of God will sin and then he will repent. He says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. He cannot commit sin. But what is born of God? Well, it's not the old man, as we've been looking at, that comes up and gets saved and rejuvenated. It is a new person altogether. It is a new nature that comes from the very seed of God. Now, that is the part that cannot sin. If it was the old man simply rejuvenated and God redoes him, but he's still left with all of his weaknesses, he'll fall right back into sin again. So God totally annihilates, and this is the simplicity of the new birth, God annihilates that old nature and replaces it with a quickened new nature, which is your seed life or your identification that comes from the great circle of eternity of the nature of God. Now, if the children of the world are the children of the devil, and you believe they are according to Jesus, so Matthew 13, he says they were, and St. John 8:44, also in 1 John 3, so if they are the children of the devil by receiving his nature, then we become the children of God, not just because the sisters have long dresses and long hair, because the brothers don't look like sissies, but because we must have a new parent. And that new parent will replace that fallen nature with a godly divine nature, which is what the scripture tells us, that we are partakers of the divine nature. Now, that nature is the gene pool or the seed line of God. Now, even after that Adam come out of the Garden of Eden and fell, we find a godly nature which showed up in Abel. Isn't that amazing? So here we find this godly nature that showed up in Abel, and we see another nature which showed up in Cain. And yet we look at them and we know that they were separate as far as the seed, as far as fathers were concerned, coming from the same church mother, but different fathers. But yet we see a nature in Abel, which was one that loved God, which wanted to serve God, had the ability to receive revelation from God. And yet this man was born supposedly in the fallen Adamic nature. Oh my. But what was it that he had the ability to receive divine revelation from God, just like you and I do today? Where'd he get that at? The nature of God was still there in Abel after the fall. Oh, I know this is so tough on some of you all, because you're placing the action of Genesis 6 on the expulsion of the Garden of Eden. You've got it at the wrong time. There is an allotment of time, an element of time. And when you go to search in the chronology and the dates and the times that Abraham and all these people live, even with Enoch, can you imagine that when Enoch is preparing and he's working on the pyramids and the things that are transpiring in their lives, that Adam is still alive? And Enoch could have actually heard Adam talk about his original position in the Garden of Eden, because their lives were so long. And the same with Abraham, and on when you look at their time frame, it's absolutely incredible. And yet you see these people that had a nature that was godly and holy, and yet they was living after the fall. So what messed it up? It was when the bloodlines become mixed in Genesis 6. Then we, every one of us now, after that mixture, we find in us good things, good traits, good characteristics, But there's also evil traits. Now, you don't have to raise your hand. I'll go ahead and raise it for you. All of you all are as guilty as a hound dog in the hen house. You've got things about you that are good and gentle and sweet and nice. And you've got things about you that are damnable, that are absolutely hogs and pigs, lower than animals. That's why I went ahead and raised my hand and represented you all, because some of you wouldn't do that. Now, but whosoever then is born of God does not commit sin. Actually, he cannot sin. A person with the divine nature of God in them by the new birth, that nature can no more sin than God himself could sin. But if you take that nature now, you take the old serpent nature out, the serpent in your heart, you take that out, then you replace it with a divine nature, and you set that upon the throne of this human temple. You are still a human being. But the nature that used to cause you to do that, which was your genes and the sense of naturally. Now, notice this. When you are born again, you receive a new parent or another nature, which is the seed of God or the gene of God. That nature does not sin. John said, whosoever is born of God. So when a person is born again or born of God, they receive a new nature, a new seed life. Praise God. They do not commit sin, John said, or they do not make sin their business or their trade. Now, will they fall short of the glory of God? They will, but it's not attributed to that new nature, because the new nature cannot sin. Totally impossible. So where do my mistakes come from, Brother Donnie? The two-thirds part of you, which has not yet been regenerated, your spirit and your flesh. Now remember, your flesh stands in the position of neutrality, to where it can raise its hands and praise God. Your flesh, your mouth, which is not saved. My mouth ain't a bit more got the Holy Ghost than this pulpit has the Holy Ghost. But yet God can move upon my soul, and the Holy Ghost can speak out of my mouth languages which are given by divine inspiration of God. Is that right? But I don't know them. I don't know how to do that. But at the same time, let that inspiration leave me. Let me get upset. Let me get all depressed or whatever more. You know, as a mortal, so I don't know if God loves me or not. I don't know if God cares for me or not. Out of that same mouth that talked in tongues an hour ago, supernaturally spoke in French or German or Arabic or whatever more, and let that anointing get off of the neutrality of my human body, and let depression and sadness and sickness get on the neutrality of my human body, and out of these same mouths, out of these same lips, I don't know why I even go to church. God don't love me. God don't care for me. Out of the very same mouths. I must have made a mistake this morning, because I thought I was going to be preaching to human beings like me today. But there must be angels here that looks like my sheep. You see, whosoever is a partaker of the divine nature by the regenerating Spirit of God, that part cannot sin. It is God's seed, which is his nature, given to each believer. And then your present nature is identified by past identification in the Lamb's Book of Life. As I said to you last night, Satan's present nature is identified because of his past rebellion. Your present nature is identified because of your past association in the mind of God. That ought to make a Presbyterian shout. Notice now, because a new nature is within you. And John calls this new nature God's seed. Now notice he said that whosoever is born of God cannot sin, because the seed of God is in him. So John calls this new nature then the seed of God. And this is why that seed can never sin. Notice in demonology the prophet said, you can't sin. Oh, I might be a sinner in your sight, but if I'm in Christ, God don't sin, because his sins atone, his blood atone for my sin. There, see, I can't sin. He that's born of God does not commit sin, for he cannot sin. The seed of God remains in him. He's willing if he makes a mistake. He's willing, oh my, if he makes a mistake, he's right and willing to confess it. If he's a real Christian, he will do it. If he holds it back, it shows he ain't got nothing in the first place. That's right. He hasn't got nothing to begin with. Now, a real child of God with that nature, you see this nature, the replaced nature, now the seed of God, becomes the king upon the throne of your heart. So when you do make mistakes, it is no longer under the bondage of sin of that old nature and the old kingdom by which you were ruled by, Satan being personified as sin in the book of Galatians, him that ruled over you, he is no longer there. So it is not attributed to being the headship of the old nature, because God looks at you and sees within you and says, you are beautiful. Notice again in the Hebrew series, the Bible said once purged by the blood of Jesus has no more desire to sin. If you have a desire, your heart is not right with God. Now notice, if you have a desire to still do the things of the world from within your nature, Satan is still the king of your heart. That's right. It's not that complicated. For instance, very simple. If we can just get tradition out of the way. That's what hinders us anyway. Your heart is not right with God. Now, you will do wrong. Go ahead and say it. Amen. You will do wrong. As I said to you last night, it's a great revelation and understanding from God that God is not trying to get us to a place that we can perfect our flesh, but subject our flesh. Satan will get you on a merry-go-round that never ends if he can get you to a place to where you think you are trying to perfect your flesh, and eventually you'll get to a place you'll make no more mistake. You'll never have to battle this thing. That is contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. You will always battle yourself. That's right. But if you can bring it to a place where you realize, I'm not trying to perfect this old boy. I'm not trying to make him a perfect, sinless son of God. What I want to do is put bits in his mouth. What I want to do is grab a whip of that word and say, buddy, you're going to obey me, talking about the soul. If I want to go to church, you're going. If I want to raise my hands, you're going to say, yes, sir. If I want to use your mouth, you're going to say, go ahead, you're the boss. Notice this, he says, you will do wrong, but you don't do it willfully. Friends, this is the simplicity and the complexity of the new birth. This one statement sums it all up. You will still make mistakes, but you don't do it willfully. Why don't you do it willfully? What made you sin willfully is dead. And it has been replaced with a new nature, and it does not will you to sin. So how do I do it? Through the neutrality of the human body, and become overwhelmed with Laodicea and wrong kind of friends and wrong kind of influence. You see, you're trapped. Anything you're trapped into or something you don't mean to do, it's not sin yet. You'll repent the minute you see you're wrong. You'll turn quickly and say, I didn't see that. You'll say that all through life. Oh no. Now those of you who don't do it are deceiving yourselves. A man don't want to be. That's the reason that we're so... so stupid. Go ahead and admit it. You're stupid. Just like I am. And so in dark, down here on the earth, But there's a blood atonement for us. Don't you understand why you still need the blood? Your stupidity. I'm talking about before you got saved. I'm talking about after you got saved. There's a blood atonement for us all the time. Oh, hallelujah. To keep us covered. Praise be to God. Notice again, John, in verse 10, he says, in this the children of God are manifest. And the devil has kids? And the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Wow. Now, question answer 64. Romans chapter 7, verse 14 to 18. We know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I would do not, for what I would, that I would not, but what I hate, that I do. Oh my goodness. If then I do that which I would not, and I cannot consent unto the law that it is good, now then it is no more now that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And I love these next four words. This I cannot understand. Because the more I go on in time, the more I realize this is very much applicable to many message people. This they do not understand. So instead of trying to find understanding, they fight it. Now, if this was my own mesmerizing about and me thinking about and making it up in my mind, I couldn't understand why anybody would have a right to question it. I'm reading from the same prophet of God that you quote from every day of your life. Well, praise the Lord. Well, they wrote out the scripture that Paul's speaking to the Romans. Now he said, let me just kind of polish it. This is what Malachi 4 done for us. Polished. Not redone the word. Not throw the Bible away. Just polished it. Polish it up so you can see. He said, wow. Now that is some heavy duty polish. In me is. Thank God for Malachi 4 polish. In me is two persons, right? One wants me to do wrong, the other wants me to do it. And every time I start to do right, then wrong hinders me. How many of you people on the interviews this afternoon run into the same thing on this morning? See, the same thing, I spoke on it on this morning temporarily. You're an outward man, which is controlled by six senses. You're an inward man, controlled by one sense, which is faith. And this faith disagrees with all six senses if the six senses don't disagree with faith. But one is contrary to the other. And as long as the six senses agree with faith, wonderful. And they will sometimes. Oh, they'll get all anointed and they'll get religious on you. And boy, them emotions and them senses, they'll just say amen to the word. Amen to the word as long as you're on the anointing. And then when you walk out the door, then they'll turn on you. They do me that all the time. The Lord will speak to my soul and say, preach this, go this way and go that way. My body will say, you'll get us both in trouble if you do it. And I'll reason back. Now, Lord, you know this is going to get me in trouble. If you said, shut up and preach. I said, all right, sir, I'll go ahead and preach it. So I go ahead and stand up and preach it. And then, you know, after the anointing leaves me, then my body tells me, see there, I told you, blabber mouth. Then what'd you do? You've got us both in trouble now. You're going to wind up, you're going to get us thrown in jail or get us killed. Now, my senses, as long as I'm under the anointing, you know how I am. You've heard me preach enough. I'm fearless. But when the anointing leaves me, I'm fearful. Come on now, you're the same way. Why? Because that atmosphere goes, so gets a hold of our senses, we go looking for the devil. And then after he leaves us, we hope he didn't hear the challenge that we made. Because it's our senses, they get so under the anointing, and man, we're ready to have church, we're ready to do whatever we need to do. And then the anointing will leave the senses, but it never leaves the soul. So the soul, hallelujah, the soul still stays on the word, but the senses become fearful. Now watch this. He says, as long as the sixes, The senses rather agree with the faith. That's wonderful. But when the six senses disagree with faith, then leave the six senses alone. Now, for instance, Jesus made a statement, a promise. The inside man says, that's true. The outside man reasons and says, it can't be true to you. Then ignore the outside and accept the inside man. Now, that's the same thing that Paul is speaking of. He was sold, listen to this, under the law to carnal sin. Oh, Jesus. Oh, no. It can't be. Every one of us is the same. You mean this even includes preachers who say they don't have a black dog? Their black dog is lying to them. He's a lying dog. Now, I love this illustration. How can I take a cucumber and make a grain of wheat out of it? What's this got to do with Romans 7? Everything. You say, what's this got to do with us? Everything. By God's help, I want to beautify you more today, cucumber. How many knows how cucumbers are? They're around the world. Different species of them. Many different species. Did you know cucumbers are poison when eaten by animals? It will kill hogs, cows, deer if they eat enough of them. When they catch them in the green stage, most cattle and horses will stay away from them. But pigs, pigs will go ahead and eat them. And it will make them so sick, and they will die. You heard that, didn't you? Now, there is a poison in the cucumber. It looks like other plants. You don't smell the poison. You don't perceive the poison by being around it. Pretty good sized leaf, you know, made sort of similar like an oak. And yet the leaf can be so juicy. The stalk itself, so juicy. And seems so appealing to the flesh. I mean, the pig. And then before you know it, the hog goes into eating it up. The way our old flesh does stuff out here we need to keep our snout out of. Then the hog's belly goes to hurting. This thing is so powerful, it will affect his vision. He can go to staggering. He gets so sick, he'll get down in the field or down in the lot, wherever it was that he is. The poison will set into his system. In a matter of hours or days, depending on how much he's eaten, it will kill him. The cucumber. So keep that in mind. Mr. and Miss Cucumber. You have something you are dealing with every day that has the potential of killing your walk with God. That's right. Now, it won't kill the soul. It cannot do that if you're born again of the Spirit of God. You notice what I said? It can kill your walk with God. Now what? So Brother Bam uses this analogy. How can I take a cucumber and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible for me to do it. So you can listen to his tapes all you want to, but Brother Branham can't change you. You can come hear me preach 3 times a week, but I can't change you. There's only one that can do what we're fixing to read, and that is God. The only way it can be is because inside the cucumber has been transmitted from a cucumber, wheat, a cucumber, to a germ. Ah, so the change is the germ. the seed, the nature. From a cocoa burr to a germ called wheat life. Then you bury that cocoa burr, and it'll produce a grain of wheat. That's right. See, because there has been a life of wheat put in the cocoa burr. Don't you see yourself? Don't you see? I just described to you in plant life your new birth. This is your new birth. This is what we were, cocoa burr from the soul out. But the divine nature of God come inside of us and took the cocoa burr heart out of us and put in a wheat heart. Oh my goodness. And the life, notice then, you bury that cocoa burr and it'll produce a grain of wheat. So you take that cocoa burr and bury it, and when it comes out of the ground, it'll be wheat. But now wait a minute. It went down in the ground with stickers on it. Don't you understand every funeral I've ever preached, every funeral every man of God's ever preached and buried our saints, of how many have we buried right across the road? How many, 100 and some funerals I've done since I've been here? Every one that I've ever preached, we buried them with stickers. Amen. And if we have your funeral or you have mine, you'll stand up here and the preachers will preach over me and you will bury this old cockle bear body. It'll have stickers. The dearest of saints and the godliest of people. And in your mind, you'll walk up and pat them on the cold hand and think, did they make it? Oh God, there's a human. I hope they make it. What does that to us? It's because of the sticky part. So you plant it, and it's a cocklebear wheat. Or wheat cocklebur. And then when it comes out of the ground, the cocklebur has vanished. And it's all wheat. You think, what in the world happened? The outside shell finally consummated in the dark room of humanity. You see, the picture was taken before the foundation of the world. Amen. And it must be developed, and the last stage is death. And it will go down in the dark room of death, and the cocoa burr will fade away, and the wheat life will tear out of the ground in the resurrection. Notice this. And the life of the cocoa burr has been taken out, but the nature of the cocoa burr is still sticky. What a peculiar plant you are. Your original seed in your soul, sealed with the Holy Ghost, got enough power in you to create a world and live on it. And as sticky as all get out when it comes to watching everything around you. And you're not just sticky to the world out here. You're sticky to one another. Some of the worst gouges I've ever got in my human existence has been from message people. Come on now, don't sit there and look at me like you're perfectly sinless. Don't you understand what causes you and your husband, you and your wife to get into an argument? You and your husband get into an argument? I'll just say for me and Carol, because nobody here else, of course, does that in the church except for just me and Carol, no doubt. Whenever me and Carol will have a disagreement or whatever more, it's not our Holy Ghost. It's not our wheat life. What is it? It's the old sticky part. Her sticky part clashes with my sticky part. And she gets sticky and I get sticky. And the more sticky I get, the more sticky she gets. And the more sticky she gets, the more sticky I get. So you can understand it's a sticky mess when we get done with all the stickiness. So what do we have to do? We have to separate from the stickiness and say, you go in that room and pray and I'll go in that room and pray. And when we come out, we're going to be like molasses instead of cocoa burr. It's the same way with a brother or sister. It's the same way with one of your children. When you get into an argument or a debate with your children, what is it? Their carnal, sticky nature that clashes with yours. Amen. so God does this. He takes this cockle bear, lays it up on the altar. Wait a minute, I got to operate with this hand. How am I going to do that? So you've got to grab a hold of that thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same as in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And you open it up. Spread it up. Look at that. And you reach down inside there. Let me get that nature. To hell you go. To separation. Now, out of me, let me pull your identity. And let me drop you and you. Okay. Now lay still. God sews you back up. You've glory to God. I'm born again. Hallelujah. I'm changed. Oh, I'm a new creature. I'll never have bad days again. The cockleburr is definitely under the influence of the anointing. Praise God, brother. I love you all. I love every one of you. I love you. Come over to my house and eat every Sunday morning. We'll have breakfast. We'll have fellowship. I'll never have any enemies again. Oh, my. It's a new world. Oh, I'm wondering if you're not on dope. I mean, that's... But when the anointing gets off the cockleburr, then you come to church and say, I really like coming to Happy Valley. I don't understand why they have to get Brother Horn up there to pray. Why's Brother West at? And Brother Louis. Oh, Lord have mercy. He makes you stand 15 to 20 minutes. Don't he understand how tired I am? What in the world? Brother Donnie gets up there, slobbers, and spits over half the people on the front three rows, and then they expect you to perceive what he's talking about. Talks 90 miles an hour. I ain't got one third of what the man's saying. I've been sitting under his ministry for 25 years. And I'll tell you what, I don't know. And this is the same person that was so drunk. Then you come in and sit down and you go to your seat and somebody's sitting in it. And you're thinking, how dare they? And you have to sit up with Sister Cocklebear the whole service. Praise the Lord. I realize and I see that y'all are my sheep. Now I realize the angelic facade has fallen off. So then this deep desire from the wheat life is calling for perfection. And the cocklebur will come by something. And then you feel so terrible. And you beat yourself down for weeks. Because the wheat life is calling for a body change. And you're wanting it to happen now. You say, God, what's wrong with me? Don't I have the Holy Ghost? Don't I have the new birth? Am I missing what Brother Donnie's preaching? God, what's wrong with me? Nothing. If you're a submitted child of God filled with the Holy Ghost, you've got to realize and separate your heart from your body. You'll be defeated if you don't. Can I go on? So the life of the cocklebur has been taken out. But the nature. Those of you that struggle with trying to understand what I'm saying. Don't let it be so complicated in your mind. The life of your old sinful nature is gone. But the nature, the human nature, whether it's Reagan or Babb or Willis or whatever more, that's still there. Yes, The life of the cocoa burr has been taken out, but the nature of the cocoa burr is still sticky. And it will be until this new life has fully been developed out of the ground and raised up again. Can't you see those resurrected saints? When they come out of the ground, they come out cocoa burr free. Those of us that are alive and remaining, the change will come upon our bodies, and our bodies will be transformed into cocoa burr free. Amen. In 1 minute you are a cocoa burr, another minute you are a wheat body. 1 minute you are sticky, the next minute you are divine. Praise be to God. Why? Because the wheat heart has transformed your body. When it comes forth, it's no more cocoa burr, but wheat. But wheat. And I'm going to say it the third time, but wheat. But while it's here on earth and out of the earth, and a cocoa burr, it's still sticky. That's why you have to be careful with your smartphone. Because your fingers will get sticky. And they'll go to places that they shouldn't go. Then the smartphone becomes smarter than the owner. And a cocoa bear, it's still sticky, but it's got the nature on the inside of it. Wheat. And as long as you are in this life, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature that's going to bother you. And somebody should have shouted right then. It's going to bother you as long as you live. But the inside of you, you're born again. Glory be to God. This is the new birth. This is what it does. It does not make our bodies wheat. It does not make our bodies love everybody and love everything. It leaves us carnal and sticky. Contrary, hateful, whatever more. And y'all still have to repent? For what? For what? Where's it coming from? The source. The source is not coming from your soul. If you're born again, it's coming from this old cocoa burr outside. Oh, that aggravated me, this and that and the other. What is it? It's sticky. It's carnal. And you've spent years, many of you, especially those of you that come out of Pentecost, spent years of your life under legalism trying to bring your body to perfection. You've wasted years of your life. You've wasted sermon after sermon trying to transform this cocoa burr into a wheat. You need to enjoy living a wheat life, a consecrated Holy Ghost wheat life, and let the Holy Ghost at the end time change you to a wheat. You'll never do it. You see, Jesus was free from this when he came to the earth. He allowed the wheat life to feel sticky and allowed them things to come against him. But you never find Jesus calling himself a cocoa burr. You find Jesus saying, except a corn of So wheat was buried and a wheat come out in order to change your nature so the cocoa burr could come out, the wheat could go in, and when you're buried or changed, you'll come out wheat. Don't you understand? This is what you're longing for. As we get closer to the end time and the consummation, the rapture is moving. Look, Fred, I don't know if you understand it or not. The rapture anointing is on the earth. The rapture anointing moving in the cycle and getting the bride ready to leave this world. It is on the earth. This is what what we're longing for. This is what we're calling for, is to come to that spot when the body will become wheat. When you are raised up, you're in the likeness of Christ. Wheat. And all the sin is gone from you, see. That's the thing. Brother Bram goes on to talk about an Indian. Somebody told me he had one time that was converted, received the Holy Ghost, and said to him, "How you getting along?" He said, "Pretty good, pretty bad." Now remember, the prophet of God identifies this man as receiving the Holy Ghost. He ain't just justified. If you want to argue with that, that's up to you. He said, "Well, how do you mean pretty bad and pretty good?" He said, "Well, since me received the Holy Ghost," he said, "there's been two dogs in me. One of them a black dog and one of them a white dog. Said they argue all the time. Said they growl and fight." So, I mean, they're just not sending dog texts. "You low down, sorry, good for nothing. Don't you call me low down, sorry." They are growling. They are fighting. It is a battle. They growl and fight at one another and said, "The white dog wants me to do good. The black dog wants me to do bad." Said, "Well, chief, which one of them wins the fight?" Now, here's your part. Said, "That depends on which one, not the Holy Ghost, not the person of God, but which one chief feeds most. So I ask you, chief, which one are you feeding most?" Now, can you imagine Brother Branham answering Romans 7 in a compound way with the cuckoo burr? And with this, this is the answer to Romans 7. Explain Romans 7. "I don't understand this." He said, "I think this is a good answer here. It just depends on which one you cater to. Which nature you cater to. The carnal nature after the things of the world, or the spiritual nature after the things of God. That does it." Over in this corner, we got a 125-pound Rottweiler. Over here, we got a little smaller breed, but he's white. He comes running out, bouncing out of the corner. The Rottweiler looks bigger, definitely has all 10 senses on his side. Got your mama's makeup, your daddy's attitude, your grandpa's stubbornness. Well, here comes that Rottweiler. This little poodle over in the side. "Come on, big boy. Come on. Come on. Come on, you want to fight?" So he don't stand there going, waggle his tail. I preached some along these lines down at the men's meeting down in September, I guess it was. White dog and the black dog. Next morning we had a morning service. Inside the service comes this little black dog, about this big. I mean, the brothers just went ballistic, you know, before church starts. So, because the night before I had produced him about being 150-pound Rottweiler, so the next morning he came in the size of a poodle. You see, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. You don't deny all the things that this Rottweiler of yours has got. You don't deny the carnality. You don't deny it's all there. But the thing you need to focus on is the fight that's in this white dog. Let's read one last scripture, if you would. Brother Caleb, jump down to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. I don't know if you're familiar with the setting of this scripture, but Peter actually takes it from hiring mercenaries to come and fight wars, because they found out that many times people that resided in the homeland and they knew the way back home, the desertion level was very, very high. So they would hire mercenaries to come from another country. So France and Germany was at war, they might hire somebody from Italy, or they might hire somebody from another country. So when they came there, they were not at home anyway. And they would fight with nothing to lose. So Peter sets this in this sense of mercenaries, that you do not belong to this world, but fight like pilgrims and strangers. You are mercenaries from heaven. Don't be a coward. And, well, if it gets tough, I can always go back to the Baptist church. Go ahead and go today. We need mercenaries from heaven. We need ambassadors from heaven that say, hey, I don't belong to this world no way. I ain't got nothing to lose. I'm standing for the cause of Jesus Christ. I have nothing to lose. I refuse to compromise. Amen. Amen. Abstain from fleshly lust. Notice how he divides you now by the new birth. Abstain from fleshly lust. Sticky cocklebur. Which war against the soul. He doesn't say it gets it, but he says it wars against it. Demonic strategy to try to attack the believers to get them into time of weakness. But by God's grace, we will overcome. Abstain means literally hold oneself constantly back. Hold oneself. You say, won't this ever end when you're changed? The abstaining is where we are. This is where we are currently in the message. We are abstaining, holding ourselves back. The terms to war against is not hand-to-hand fighting, but a planned military expedition with an objective to take your victory. So it's not just a battle and they run, that's it. Oh no, but it's a strategy that they study you day in and day out. And they try to lay things before you that you'll get involved into with fleshly lusts. Stand. D.L. Moody said, I have more trouble with D.L. Moody than any man I know of. Any other Mr. and Miss Moody's in here today? As a matter of fact, it's your Moody that gets you in trouble sometimes. Oh my goodness. So you can imagine every day we get up, we comb the cocklebur's hair. We brush the cocklebur's teeth. We take it to work. We stop at Dunkin' and get it a donut. We get its favorite coffee. We do this. People at work aggravate the cocklebur. We're still thinking about Sunday's sermon. Boy, that got on me. I understand. I made up my mind after Wednesday night, that guy that preached on Wednesday night, I don't think I'll ever have him back. I understand. But you battle and you war and you take care of this cocklebur, and it's the worst enemy you've got. But by God's grace, your wheat life will lead your cocklebur. You imagine when the change comes that all of a sudden, maybe you're brushing your teeth or whatever more, 7 in the morning, 6 or 7, whenever you're getting up, maybe that's our time, African time, who knows when it is, but whatever it is you're doing, And all of a sudden you see just a flash of light like that. And you see a movement behind you in the mirror. And it's your mama. A flash, and I say, oh my goodness, that guy looks just like Brother Homer Arnold at 20. I look like Brother Alan McKinney. And you know it won't be long. You're going to be changed. And your body change will start from within. The wheat life will start just consuming as it was. The cocklebur. And from within. Glory be to God. Your cocklebur will be totally consumed. As I told you of a dream that I had years and years ago. I was standing out there in a foyer. Just shaking hands with brothers and sisters. You know as we do sometimes. And all of a sudden. Standing there shaking. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you who it was. I stand there shaking Brother Buzz Livingston's hand. And when I was shaking his hand, it's like it started in his body and a change started coming over him. Hair come back on his head. His wrinkles was gone. His physique slendered up. And as I had hold of him like this, the change started moving up my hands. My right hand, my fox bed hand, which I still bear the image of that scar. My eyes look down at my hand because every time I shake anybody's hands, it makes the scar white. So as I looked down at my hand, I saw the scar disappear. The spots come off and I seen it come up. And as I looked around in the foyer, I seen other of you. Your body's just being changed. Transformed. What was it? Wheat time has arrived. Praise God. Don't give in, children. Don't give up to this world. You keep pressing. Oh, I know you groan. I know you do. I do too. Paul felt it in their day. He said, we groan because we've received the deposit, the down payment. What was it? The wheat life. The wheat life makes you miserable. Cocklebirds are happy. Don't you understand why they seem in a sense to be more happy than you are? They're not wheat on the inside, cocklebur on the outside. They're cocklebur through and through. You was cocklebur through and through before you got converted, but now you're in this hybrid state. Eternity's calling for you, and you're captured in this prison of a cocklebur prison. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, how great is your word, Father. Lord, thank you for this message. Lord, how we thank you for sending us Brother Branham. You never sent him for us to worship him or adore him or make an idol out of him. But he told us Jesus died that you might be made well. And he said, he sent me to tell you what is the truth. Hallelujah. He had nothing to do with Calvary. He had nothing to do with the resurrection. His call was to restore our hearts back to the original word. We thank you for this message. He was not a theologian. He was not a great learned man from Yale or Harvard. But he would take these simple examples like an Indian chief or a cucklebur. Praise God. But Lord, most of us, I'm sure, can understand what he was saying. Oh God, I pray that you'd help each of us. If there's any here today who's not had that great surgery performed upon them, or the divine surgeon himself, you're the first one to perform surgery. You're still performing surgical new births to this day. And that's what it is. Your holy presence goes inside a person's nature, inside that soul, opens it up. They consent. God, I'm ready to die. I want to give it up. I'm finished. You take that old nature out. You quicken that seed life and replace it with deity. You close up the incision thereof. But we don't look at a beautiful woman with blue eyes and blonde hair the way Adam saw Eve. But we look at a creature that now in one way is confusing. It's touched by divine, but still remains human. It has the ability to hear from heaven. It has the ability that its soul soars beyond mortal realms and can feel the touch of the divine. And yet in 30 minutes it can come down and feel so low that it don't know what to do. Oh Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. Bring encouragement to each of your children. Lord God, you see, Carol and I leaving tomorrow. I'm going to Israel with some more of our brothers and sisters for a trip. I pray you'd watch over the people. Watch over the church. Keep them, Lord. Makes me feel sad in my heart to have to go away from them. But I realize they're not my sheep. They're yours. But you put us together and we love one another so much. I believe that love we feel is a little bit of a deposit of what we'll experience in heaven in eternity. Somehow you'll let us all be together up there. Keep them while I'm gone, Lord, and watch over them. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. If one of them was to slip away, or I was to slip away, may we be assured of this one thing. It won't be long. We'll be gathered together again. We love you, Father. Strengthen us in our war against ourselves. Teach us, Lord Jesus, how to win this ultimate fight. For you have gone before us, and you crucified yourself before the Romans ever drove one nail in your hand. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Don't you love him today, saints? I hope this is a blessing to you, a help to you to understand yourself, understand one another, understand our brothers and sisters. Amen. Praise God. Harry, sing something for us if you would. Can we just turn and shake hands with somebody and say, God bless you, brothers, sisters. Been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Don't you want to spend eternity with one another? Amen. We want to be there. We want to be there together, Brother Samuel. We want to be there by God's grace. Praise the Lord. We don't want to miss it. No, sir. We're not going to by God's grace. We're going to be there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It won't be long till we'll be leaving here. It won't be long. Oh, we'll be going home. Count the months as we count the weeks as days, any day now. Oh, the bride is going home. Won't be. month. Count the months as weeks. Count the weeks as days. Any day now, we get to get home. It won't be long till we'll be leaving here. It won't be to give me grace, so I'll have strength to
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for your love today. Thank you for allowing us this privilege, Lord Jesus, that we could come together again. Thank you, Lord, for dividing this sermon for us, helping us to hear who we really are and who we really are not. This house is only a prison. Sticky, carnal. One day we will lead it to the greatest and ultimate victory. Those in Laodicea who follow the leading of their flesh will lead them to the downward pass of the tribulation. But for those who let the soul do the guiding and the leading, their soul will lead their body to the body change. Thank you, Father. Go with us now, pray, Lord. Bring us back at the appointed time. Watch over them while we're gone, Lord. Keep us all in your grace. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'd like to have a short meeting with the trustee brothers after church, if you could. God bless you, saints. I love you. We'll be gone about 10 days or so, so pray for us while we're there. God give us his traveling mercy. We'll be flying out of Newark tomorrow night about 9 or so. So flying straight into Israel. So just remember us and certainly be remembering you while we're gone. I love you with all my heart. I want us to be together that day. I want it to be something when we all stand there together and we just kind of look across at one another. All of us will be young. No glasses, no gray hair. All be young. Praise God. God bless you. Go in the fear of the Lord. Yes, Lord.
Because you set me free.
Yes, Lord.
So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. All I could see was the struggle. I was haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. So bound up shackles of all of my failures. Wondering how long, Lord, is this going to last?
Amen.
Then you looked at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. 'Cause I am redeemed, for you set me free. So I'll just shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy, useless, no good.
That's me. I've been called that.
Named by the voice of my shame and my regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head, I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. just shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll just shake off these heavy chains, wipe away. Wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Sing it again. I am. You set me free. You set me free. So I'll.